Gospel according to Mark, chapter 1. I would like to read a few verses from the verse number 35 to the verse number 38. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he, that is the Lord Jesus, went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. I believe that an earnest and fervent desire of a disciple, of a young Christian today, should be to study all of the four gospel books, to understand the life, the example, and the teaching of our Lord Jesus, and the frame or the capability of men of understanding the gospel of the Lord Jesus from the Lord's teaching and his examples. I believe that only by studying all four gospels, and that means first the gospel according to Matthew, and then after that the gospel according to Mark, in the light of the gospel according to Matthew, and then the gospel according to Luke, in the light of the first two gospel books, and finally the gospel according to John, in the light of the knowledge and experience this disciple already had with the first three books of the Gospels. I do not believe that it is very helpful and constructive to suggest to young and new believers just to focus on the Gospel according to John. That's one of those modern, perhaps, opinions that belong to the industrial age of the world, when everything should be done in a nutshell, you know, just say a few words of a personal prayer to the Lord, confess your sins, invite him into your hearts, and you are a Christian. You're as much Christian as you were before in most of the cases. I don't want to say that it's completely impossible that someone would turn to the Lord Jesus at one decisive moment in his or her life. I believe that the Lord is the Lord of miracles, but in most of the cases, to understand the gospel of the Lord and to apply his teaching to our daily walk, we need time, we need efforts, and of course we need a lot of and constant continuous prayers to the Lord that his Spirit would guide us and protect us also as we strive to build up a proper discernment, a proper dividing of the scriptures, and proper and genuine application in our daily walk. In the Gospel according to Matthew, I studied the books of Matthew sometimes just for the purpose of this recording, and many times because it was an appropriate situation and the spiritual need of the listeners, or my own, or both mine and theirs, was to get inspired by a certain particular passage and the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the recordings are not strictly doctrinal, not always exclusively or strictly inspirational, but a combination that in many cases was linked to any given situation and conditions, needs of the believers involved. And now, starting with this recording, I am adding to the old and existing recordings that I have collected from my past presentations and preachings. I'm careful to add all the parts, or almost all of the parts, in the other three Gospels that are not expressly recorded in the Gospel according to Matthew. My intention is to have fairly complete presentation of the gospel teachings, the teachings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the smallest frame possible, in order to inspire the disciples of any age and with any experience to study the Word of God and to share the Word of God with one another, and especially to reach out to those that are in need of our Lord's salvation. As I was thinking and considering the beginning of Mark's Gospel, the passages that are not included expressly in the Gospel according to Matthew, a whole invasion of thoughts and thinking came to my mind, and one of those is comparing the Gospel according to Matthew with the Gospel according to Luke. When we read the Gospel according to Luke, we see so many details that gives us a strong impression that in many details the power of the Lord's Spirit is working and preparing the next big event that will happen, something big, something great that the Lord has prepared from the times of old, and now is the time that that be fulfilled and completed. When we read the Gospel according to Mark, we get not as many details, but the important facts. Now, looking into the Gospel according to Luke, we see that the details are important facts too. On the other hand, when we read in the Gospel according to Mark that John the Baptist came and he preached, he fulfilled the old prophecy by his preaching, the people are coming, and after so many people came to be baptized, finally the Jesus of Nazareth is coming to be baptized too, and there is a testimony of the Lord, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him, in him I am well pleased," and so on. Very strong and a set of facts that look like a skeleton of the gospel that has to be shaped and formed by the faith and understanding of the reader, the student, the disciple, and also by the blessed and most important influence of the Holy Spirit upon that person. I see that it might not be easy, from all that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did, to sort out how many of these points that he presented, how many of the deeds that he did are for us to do, and how many are just to learn who and what he is. I might offer some explanation within the limits of my very limited understanding, that none of us should seek to do something great, something big, something that will make my name and my person known to the world. To the contrary, we should seek the Lord's guidance, instruction, and help, his power, the power of the Spirit of Christ to work in our hearts, so that we can obey him in every known fact, in every given situation, without omitting or skipping anything that we know his will for us is. That will sharpen and clear our understanding of his word and proper application in our daily walk. Now, when the Lord said to his disciples at the end of Mark's book, Gospel according to Mark, we read in the verse number 15 and few verses down, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," human creature of course, "he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned," or will continue under condemnation. "And these signs shall follow them that believe, in my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing,
it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. These words of the Lord before his departure to the disciples are addressed to the whole body of believers, about which the Apostle Paul is writing to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to every human being, slaves or masters, Greeks, Gentiles, Jews or circumcised, uncircumcised, religious or atheists, just preach. Now, not all of the disciples, actually very few of the disciples, are gifted preachers that can preach as Paul the Apostle, as Stephen, one of the seven deacons, as Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, and so on. Many of the disciples can preach by witnessing. It's silent preaching, by the deeds of charity and loving kindness, the deeds of mercy, by their alms and donations, and so on. So this commandment to the disciples, to the whole body of the believers, remains until today. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or continue under his or her own condemnation. This on one side is revealing how great is the responsibility and liability of those that hear the gospel, that see the gospel applied, how important is their response, their reaction to that. But this also reveals to the believers, to the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, how important is our testimony and our outreach and our example to the world, how important it is that we be salt to the earth and light to the world. But here we are at the point of many disagreements between the scholars, between the students of the Bible, between the different groups of believers and different denominations or different sects. These are the signs that shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. How many of these signs we should be doing today? I have a simple answer to a complicated question, and that is, as many as necessary, as many as the Lord will give us ability to do, and none of the signs and none of the miracles should be done when they're not necessary. We should not gather a bunch of venomous snakes and then we take one by one in our hands and we manifest, demonstrate a miracle. They cannot hurt us. They can and they will, and we deserve it if we are making a show. But this has been done when needed and as needed and as the Lord provides. The miracles of the Lord are not learned. Somebody is not going to try to heal a little thing, let's say a bruised finger or toe on a person, another human being, and then later on a broken leg or broken arm, and then later on something more, something greater, and so on. No, that's nothing of gospel. That's nothing that the Lord was teaching. When the Lord has given to a disciple the power to heal, to perform miracles, that disciple knows that. And we should be very careful not to pretend, not to try to exaggerate, not to try to persuade somebody to believe the Lord with something that obviously is not the truth. This is not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's the gospel of Satan. All the gifts that we receive from the Lord, we should exercise, we should use, we should apply, practice, always as the Lord is leading, as the gospel is teaching, and as the power of the Spirit is providing, and we should not seek something great, but be content with that assignment and with that ministry that the Lord has appointed to us, that the Lord has ordained us for. In the light of all this that I already said, I would like now to focus on Mark 1:35 and on these few verses that are providing us an opportunity to take a glimpse into the life of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to see how he lived in his private life, in his privacy, if I may say so, in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. I believe that this verse is in no way discounting group prayers and even public prayers when needed and when there is proper opportunity for that. But I also believe that this verse is teaching us the importance of private, personal I believe that this verse is teaching us the value and the help that can come through this channel, the value of the personal prayer to our Heavenly Father, and of course, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not important how far that solitary place is going to be from the crowd or from the company of believers or from our loved ones in the family. The important thing is it's private. It provides that opportunity or the environment of personal prayer to the Father, undisturbed and undistracted by any thought. Who else is going to see that? Who else is going to hear that? And am I giving a good impression? None of that is important. What is important, that's only my Lord and my Savior and I myself. My heart is open to him and my prayer is outpoured with the confidence that he hears and he answers. In this case, presenting to us one moment in our Lord's earthly journey, we can see that the Lord labored to accomplish that. He departed, he walked away, he journeyed to a solitary place, and that also tells us that we might have to labor for that. It's not always and readily available, and the following verse is adding to that accent, that solitary places or the value or the opportunity of a personal, private prayer to the Lord, to our Heavenly Father, is not always at hand, is not always readily available. And sadly, when it is, often we missed it and did not use it. However, this verse number 36 is indicating two things. Simon and they that were with him followed after the Lord. He went away to have his private time and they are hasting after him and looking for him. They could not understand at that time that he needs his private time with the Heavenly Father. They at that time perhaps did not, at least not all of them, understand how much they need their private time with the Heavenly Father, and also their private time with their Lord and Master Jesus Christ. However, this verse also indicates how important it is to have that private time for prayer, and also how often it's going to be interrupted, how often the other believers or even the unbelievers are going to seek for that praying Christian exactly at that moment when he or she is praying to the Lord. We could only wish that at our private prayer time or personal prayer time, we would be sought for the same reason that the Lord was sought. The people are seeking Him. They want their healing. They want their opportunity to hear His teaching and so on. But we will be often, or at least at times, be sought and interrupted in our private prayer time exactly for meaningless and unimportant things. So there will be a need and a necessity. We know that by experience, and if we study the scripture, we will see that from the example of the others, that we have to work it out. We have to labor in that direction to secure private and personal prayer time with the Lord for us. That's our need, our necessity for our spiritual living and for our growth and continuation in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, from the verse number 38, as our Lord's reply to the message that he got, or to the words that he heard from his disciples, all men seek for thee. Everyone is looking for this Jesus of Nazareth. The Lord is answering, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. This is probably different than anything that I would react to someone seeking me for the gospel's sake. Or probably most of you that will listen to these recordings would learn the same thing, that it is not always wise to meet the people when they want your attention. Sometimes it's necessary to give them some time to get settled, to sort out the things in their own mind, not to just be spiritual parasites that whenever they need something, they say, oh Lord, I need this and that, I need this and that. No, you labor, you work, you study, you pray, and then when you really need something you cannot do, ask for help. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and we as His disciples are not sent into the world to please every their feeling, to satisfy every their desire. Mainly we are here to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we fail in anything, our greatest failure will be in this assignment and this appointment. Our adversary, the devil, would like us to do anything else. Just as the apostle said, it is not for us to leave the ministry of the word and serve around the tables. Is it important to serve around the tables? Yes. Is it important to share with the needy? Of course. Is that all of the gospel? No, never. The gospel is first the presentation, teaching, and practice, living the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord give us that discernment, and if we seek for it and we pray for it, the Lord will give us that discernment. What is the most appropriate and the best to do in serving the Lord, ministering to the others, reaching out, how we should do that in words and in deeds, in kindness and seriously. Among the few most important things about gospel presentation is sharing the gospel in words and presenting, demonstrating the gospel in deeds, doing the will of our Heavenly Father first among those that share the faith in Christ, among those that are fellow believers, and among the members of my immediate family, my loved ones, my siblings, my parents. And of course, it can happen that they're the first ones that will reject us. Well, if that be the case, then we reach out to the others, but we start from the beginning. I believe that's what the Lord is teaching in His Gospel, and we can see that in many places clearly manifested to us. I believe I have shared some of the following thoughts in the beginning of recording Gospel according to Matthew, sharing the Gospel according to Matthew, that in no case and in no degree I want to give an impression that this is the only way to understand the Word of God, and that my opinions and my thoughts are to be taken dogmatically as a rigid rule. To the contrary, my recordings and my presentation of the Gospel teachings is intended to be, and as much as I was able to do with the help of the Lord, designed to be an inspiration and encouragement to every believer to study the Word of God and to apply it faithfully in our daily walk. May the Lord bless His Word, multiply the Gospel message, exalt the name of Christ, glorify His Son, and give to us grace and power to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in our daily walk and prayerfully seek to do His will.